Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to talk about what it means to get some stability in our lives. Because I think, like, if you are unstable, and I said this about 6 months ago, it's like you're on a roller coaster. Your life's a roller coaster, and it's the nastiest roller coaster you've ever been on, and you're, like, puking everywhere. Like, bleh. I mean, like, I hate roller coasters, all right? I'm not a fan, okay? But you're on this nasty roller coaster, and you get to where you can get off, and boom, here you go again. And you never get off the roller coaster. Bringing stability into your life, and really, I'm talking about emotional stability. I'm talking about you as a person, that you're going to stick in there and fight when the battle is intense. I'm talking about being stable, getting stable, and really letting God show you what it looks like to be stable. Pastor Paula started the new series last week. And by the way, I'm so glad to be home today. Man, it's so great. I'm glad to be. I miss you guys when I'm not here. Man, also, way to go on the exponentially more offering. Can you give yourselves a hand? I was so proud of our congregation and what God did with that. And I'm telling you, it just sets the tone for such an incredible day. But we're living in this world that's unstable. Pastor Paula kicked us off last week talking about King Saul in the Old Testament. There are plenty of unstable people in the Bible that God turns around and brings stability into their lives. Because really, if you meet an unstable person, their biggest prayer is, Lord, will you bring some stability into my life? Like, nobody wants to live that way. And King Saul was one of those great examples. Paula opened and talked about how even the nation of Israel, you want to talk about unstable people, look at the nation of Israel. Back then, when they were wanting a king, God wasn't good enough for them. So they called and said, I want a king. We want a king. And here comes King Saul on the scene. We live in a world of unstable people. Any bit of trouble or difficulty knocks them out of the game. And I'm telling you right now, if you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to see God show up in your life, there's going to be battles. And you got to be stable through those battles and not let the enemy kick you out of the game. Like, there are going to be difficulties. If you're doing anything for God, get ready. That means praying for your kids. That means, like, taking the gospel into work. Whatever God calls you to do, the minute you step into that, you better be ready for the battle. If there's no battle, you kind of wonder if your life's going in the same direction as the enemy. Got quiet. But having stability in that, tying into peace and tying into strength, the enemy knows this. He does you the best to get you sidelined. There are people that we see here at church, and they hit the minute the difficulties come, they're out the back door. I'm like, you need to be here the most when difficulties are happening in your life. Where are you running to in the midst of challenges and difficulties? The enemy knows how to get you sidelined. People are unstable, and part of that is they've allowed their emotions to rule their life. I want to tell you something. Feelings are not reality. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. We live in a world that lives by their emotions. Marriages are ruined because people feel like they're not in love anymore. That feeling, the feelings and our emotions, people's emotions are out of control today. And I think part of becoming stable is saying, Jesus, I don't want to live by my feelings. I want to live by the truth. I want to live by your truth. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's reality. If you allow your feelings and emotions to control you, you will be an unstable mess. And that's what we're seeing all around us. Well, I feel this way. How you feel, if you allow your feelings to dictate, will dictate how you live your life. Just because you feel. In fact, what I challenge you to do is when you feel something, put it on the altar and say, God, what do you think about this feeling? That will bring you stability into your life. If you allow stress and fear and anxiety to rule your life, you're going to be unstable. And I hear people, well, I just have so much anxiety. Okay, let's start dealing with it. Let's say, God, where is the root of that anxiety? If you are stressed and anxious and full of anxiety and that rules your life, you better get to Soul Care here on February 2nd. Because you have a decision to make. Okay? The world says living with fear and anxiety and worry is all okay. But what does Jesus say about it? Do not fear. Do not worry. I've got it all under control. Listen, some of you, the medication, you might have to take medication, but that's sometimes not the answer. You need Jesus to bring joy and peace in your life, and it'll change everything. We were not meant to live with fear, anxiety, and worry. We were meant to live in freedom. I want to say that again. You're not meant to live in fear and worry and anxiety. You're meant to live in freedom. You're meant to live with joy and peace. And I hope in 2024, on this Sunday, you say enough of the fear, enough of the worry, enough of the anxiety. I'm not putting up with it in my life anymore. It's only when you make that kind of stand that you find freedom. Well, how do I make that kind of stand? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you today. If there's past hurts, trauma, brokenness, or unforgiveness that rules you, you will be unstable. The truth of it is we've got to get healed up. We can't live in brokenness. We can't be okay with things in our life that doesn't line up with God's word. Well, I'm just anxious by nature. Does that line up with God's word? Well, I'm just afraid of everything. Does that line up with God's word? Well, where am I going to get a job? Where is my money going to come from? Does that line up with God's word? Let's start asking those kind of questions in our life. Because some of you, the enemy has you on this roller coaster that you just can't get off of in its time. Being stable is also part of spiritual maturity. If you've read the Bible at all, you know that when you first get saved, the Bible calls us spiritual babies. And we have a couple babies in our house, and it's a good reminder. The minute they don't get their milk, they're, wah! The minute their diaper's full of poop, wah! I mean, like literally, they can be totally fine. Everything can be great, and they're screaming. I've seen Christians like that. Spiritual maturity means you're going to find stability. It means you grow up. The Bible says to eat the meat of God's word. The Bible says that we grow and we become mature believers. That's something we got to work on, friends, because God has not called you to be a spiritual baby. He's called you to be a spiritual giant. And that's, man, I'm telling you, that will bring stability into your life like never before. Spiritual maturity happens when you dig into God's word, when you spend time with him, when you grow on a regular basis. In fact, if you have a child that remains a baby when they're 20 years old, and I'm saying in size, not mentally, because we know some 20, I mean, yeah, I can't go there. But if you're looking at your child and they're the same size at 5 years old as they were at 12 months old, you'd be taking them to a doctor saying something's wrong. But we're okay spiritually to stay like that and never ask any kind of questions. God, how do you bring stability into my life? Getting into God, what you're digging your roots into. Spiritual maturity happens when you plant your roots down firm. That's going to bring stability. And you know, there's a question that Jesus addressed in Scripture. And that question is, what are you building your life on? Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus gave some clear direction on how we find stability. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. See, there's two parts, listening and then actually doing. Some of you listen, but you don't do. That's the challenge. You have to listen and you have to do. Jesus said this, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and flood, the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. What are you building your house on? Where are your roots going deep into? The Bible also talks about building on the sand versus building in the rock. Are you building your life on the sand? And when those storms come, you're going to be turned upside down. We're talking about Saul. Saul was chosen by God to be the first king of Israel, and he was also very unstable. His life was all over the map. He missed out on all that God had for him. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 1:10 today. Saul was driven by fear, insecurity, a lack of patience. Fear and insecurity would rule Saul's life to the end. He never could break free of it, even though God had clearly called him and equipped him to do what he was asking Samuel to do. Many of you know I travel a lot. So this week, last Friday, I was in New York City, Saturday in St. Louis, Tuesday in Texarkana, Texas, Wednesday in Brownsville, Texas, then back to Texarkana, Texas, and New York City Friday and Saturday, and flew home yesterday. So people that say they're busy and have an excuse to not be here at church, I beat them, and I'm still here. But one of those things about travel is baggage. If you saw me carrying all my bags, you'd think I'm a lunatic. I have all this baggage that I have to carry, and literally it is the most exhausting thing. Like, and I not only have baggage, but then I have to wait on it. I mean, like, baggage is such a bummer. I mean, like, literally, I'm walking down, and, like, if I let go of my baggage one certain way, the whole thing falls, and I'm, like, picking it off the ground. I mean, it's crazy. I have 4 bags. Everything's to the max, like, 50 pounds per bag. I can literally lift up a bag and know what it weighs. Like, literally, if you say, Pastor, because if you go over to 51 pounds, they charge you, like, $100, all right? So everything is weighed out. Like, I know what it is. Baggage is a bummer. If my flights get canceled, you know, I mean, baggage is a bummer. But I want to tell you something. It's such a great lesson when it comes to spiritual baggage. What kind of spiritual baggage are you carrying with you? Like, literally, I have a backpack on my back, and Paula tells me all the time I'm going to have back damage because I wear it on one side. Talk about unstable. But spiritual baggage does the same kind of thing. Baggage that we hold on to in our lives does the same thing. Some of you are carrying baggage in your life that is such a heavy load. And listen, like, what kind of crazy is it that if I had a suitcase, I never washed the clothes in it. I just carried the same thing with me my whole life. Well, I got to turn those underwear up inside out again. But we do that in our spiritual life all the time. Some of you, we're carrying baggage that's been in your life for a long time. And you wonder why the journey's not different. You wonder why it's such a heavy load. When you come up to a situation, you're like, oh, I've got baggage. I've got stuff that I could put on here and use here. And it's the same stuff you've used every time and it doesn't work. And you wonder why you're unstable. God calls Saul to be a king. And you're going to go, like, why is he talking about baggage? Just wait. I'm going to show you. God calls Saul to be king in the first part of 1 Samuel 10. Samuel anointed Saul and told Saul that he had been appointed by God. He said there would be specific signs that would happen to confirm Saul's calling. The Bible tells us that all the signs were confirmed and God gave Saul a new heart. So here God was saying, listen, Saul, you're going to be king. I've given you everything you need to be stable. I've given you everything you need to do what I've called you to do. And I want to tell you something. I want to lay this out for all of us right here. Every one of you in this room, you have a calling upon your life. Every one of you, God has a purpose for you. He has a calling, and it's time we figure out how to accomplish that in our lives. And being unstable means that you never accomplish that calling that God has put on your life. The Bible tells us that God confirmed everything he said to Saul. The Spirit of God came upon Saul, and the Bible tells us they began to prophesy. These signs confirm that Saul had been called and chosen by God. And I'm telling you right now, you are called and you are chosen by God. You're in the same thing, and God will confirm it over and over again. Those signs also confirm that God would be with Saul. Saul didn't have to worry or be driven by fear because God was with him. God confirmed Saul, and he equipped him. These moments were powerful and should have been a clear sign to Saul that he did not have to worry, that God was going with him to every door that he opened. He could walk into it with stability and say, God, we've got this. The Bible then goes on to tell us in 1 Samuel 10, and that's in the Old Testament. Read that whole chapter, 1 Samuel 10, all of it. It's really powerful. The Bible tells us that Samuel brought all of the people of Israel together to make the announcement that Saul was going to be their king and that he was chosen by God to lead the Israelites. He made that announcement, and Saul, guess what, was nowhere to be found. So the Bible says he had disappeared. What we are talking about is one of the most fascinating portions of Scripture I've read in the Bible. It's 1 Samuel 10, 20 through 21. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by a lot. Not a lot, but lots. That's how they would choose people. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the matriarchs was chosen. And finally, Saul of Kish was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. It's unbelievable. The baggage that Saul had in his life, and I don't think it was the physical baggage God was talking about. He might have been hiding behind that, but it was the spiritual baggage that he was carrying in his life. Who knows? Why was he hiding behind that baggage? Maybe he had a lot of shame and guilt. Maybe he had a lot of insecurity. Maybe he let fear rule his life. What kind of baggage are you hiding behind right now? Well, that's always been in my life, and I don't know how to get rid of it. Well, it's time to exchange those bags. It's time to let God clean out all that stuff and bring wholeness and health to your life. He was hiding behind the baggage, and that was all after God had confirmed, shown him signs, done all that he could do to say, Saul, you are the one that's chosen. But here's what God can't do. He can't force you to give up your baggage. He can't force you to let him into that baggage and to clean it up for you. You have to let him. That's exactly what Saul showed us right here. After God went out of his way to say, you're called, you're anointed, you're chosen, I've got you. Together we're going to do this, and I'm going to help you be the king that God has called you to be. God says the same thing to us today. God has given you everything you need to accomplish what he's called you to be. But you're hiding behind that baggage. That baggage has defined you. And here's what God told me today as I was getting ready for service. There are some of you that baggage has become so familiar that you don't even remember that it's baggage. It's just part of you. And God wants to take it. All that pain, all that hurt, all that shame, all that guilt, the things that you've been holding on to, the things that come out of that bag when you've been called to do what God's called you to do. I always tell people, you can tell a lot about a person by what comes out when they get pushed. And that's how you know what's in your bag. That's how you know. And it's a heavy bag. This is a heavy burden that some of you have been walking around with, and you've forgotten that it's baggage. And today, God wants you to take that baggage off and drop it at the altar and not pick it back up. God wants you to once and for all say, it's yours, and I'm not picking it back up. But here's the problem. It's become part of you. It's become part of your identity, and you've got to find a new identity. You've got to let Jesus speak to you about that identity. It is time to leave that baggage here. God has called you. He's equipped you. Your family needs you. This world needs you. Don't let your baggage, don't hide behind it anymore. The baggage that you're trying to carry is bringing instability in every part of your life. And here's what's sad to me. There are some in here that you didn't fill your own baggage, somebody else did. The hurt, the pain, the brokenness, the things that you tried to fill your life with. And God's saying, listen, I want all of that because my burden is light and my yoke is easy. That's how you know you're carrying around baggage. You want to know how you know? When the burden is heavy. When you're like, I don't know if I can go on to the next day, you better look at what baggage you're trying to hold on to. Because Jesus comes along and he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, if that's not true for you, look at what kind of baggage you're holding on to. Look at what's in that baggage that you're holding on to. And listen, some of you, you have packed that so tight and so heavy, your baggage weighs 55 pounds and you're paying the price every time you get into a situation. TSA can't even open up your baggage. Oh, whoa, nobody touches that. You hate it, but it defines every part of your life. That's where Saul was. He was hiding behind this baggage. For Saul, I believe it was fear that was ruling his life and keeping him from doing what God called him to do and anointed him to do. And this fear would never get dealt with. It would go throughout his whole life. He was fearful. If you notice, Samuel said, wait, don't do anything till I show up. As you read in chapter 10, you know what? On the last minute, on the seventh day, Samuel said, I'm going to show up on the seventh day. It was the last minute, the seventh day, and Saul didn't see Samuel, so guess what he did? He took it into his own hands because of his baggage. And God took his anointing off of King Saul. You have to say, God, here's my baggage. I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to hide out anymore. God is calling you to step out from behind that baggage and experience freedom. Don't let fear, don't let worry, don't let anxiety hold you back. So my question today is, what baggage are you hiding behind? What's become part of you? What baggage has kept you from accomplishing what God has called you to do? What's in those heavy bags that you've been carrying? Because I'll tell you, no matter how heavy your load is, God wants to bring healing to your heart and give you a new heart and bring some stability into your life. Because the stability, it doesn't come from what you see around you. It comes from Him alone. And I'll tell you, my bags, when they're heavy, I feel totally unstable. And I think that spiritually, that's how it feels, and that's how you know. You might, and listen, like I said, somebody else might have packed your bags. You might have a lot of trauma in your baggage that Jesus wants to heal. Some of you, you're like, I don't want to open that bag because I know what's in there. And I know it's going to be painful, but I'll tell you what, if you give God your pain and you give God what's in there, He will bring freedom and you won't have to carry it anymore. Don't just sit there and say, well, I don't want to deal with it. Give it to God. Because truthfully, as I was preparing this message, I felt like some of you are carrying such an unbearable load that you walk in here with a smile, but man, you get out of here and it's such a heavy load. It affects you so much that God wants to bring freedom. I felt it as I prepared this message. And some of the saddest to me is when somebody else packed your bag. When somebody else inflicted the hurt and the pain and the difficulties that you're walking through. And that now affects your life. Listen, let God into your bags. Let God come in and bring healing right now. There are others in this room, you've allowed other people's opinions to fill your baggage. What they've spoken over you, oh, you could never do that. Man, you're not smart enough to do that. How could you ever do that? You know your life before. How could God ever use you? All of that stuff that the enemy tries to lie to you about and fill your bags with, you better stop and say, God, I want the truth. Some of you listen to voices in your head of people that have spoken death over your life for so long, and it's time to start listening to God's voice. Some of you, it goes back to when your dad told you you weren't good enough, or your mom told you that you'd never measure up. I don't know what it is today, but whatever your bags are packed with, today is a day of freedom and healing, and you need to leave them right here. Oh, but my bag is so pretty. I have all of the great markings on it. No baggage is pretty. My bags are beat up. There's no baggage that's pretty that you can hold on to. Well, that's just my personality. Really? God wants to take that bag. Your personality is not a Gucci bag. I'm just telling you right now. And it's not a Coach bag, all right? Baggage is what God wants to take care of. Do not let your baggage define you. I think there's a couple keys that we see in Scripture of how to get rid of our baggage. Key number one is listen for what God says about you. All throughout the Scripture, Samuel was speaking to Saul God's word about who God thought he was, not what anybody else has said about him. Saul missed it. What does God say about you? Well, I don't know, Pastor. Then that tells me you got to get into the word and find out what God says about you. You're a son and a daughter. You have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. He loves you. He sees you. He's with you. God loves you. Learn about what God is saying over your life today. What does God say about you? Over and over, God spoke about what he saw in Saul, and he backed up those with signs and wonders. People are unstable because they don't know who they are and whose they are. That's part of this issue. They've allowed their identity to be formed by other voices in their life instead of rooting their identity on what God says about them. I will tell you, one of the biggest problems in our world today is people do not know who they are in Christ. We can sit down and have this conversation, and I could say, well, who are you? And you might tell me what you do. I don't care what you do. I want to know who you are. What's your identity? Some of you, you look in the mirror and you see a broken person who's carrying all this baggage that can never do anything for God. And I'm telling you right now, you've got to find your identity. You got to know what God says about you and root it in there. Identity is a major problem. Listen to what God says about you. Looking at what God said about Saul and his word through Samuel, there were some things like this. One, God had appointed him to rule Israel. He was God's special possession. The Spirit of the Lord was going to come on Saul powerfully. He would prophesy. He would change into a different person. All of these things are what God said over Saul, and Saul missed it because he was busy hiding behind the baggage. He was busy holding on to what he thought, and he didn't let God speak to him. After God confirmed Saul through Samuel with those words spoken, Samuel then told him to go and accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. You need to know what God says about you. And if you don't know that, you better find out from somebody. Sit down with somebody here. Get into a life group. Find out what God says about you. I promise you, like, God is never going to say anything that goes against his word. I always ask people what God's voice sounds like to them. And I'll hear people say, well, yeah, God said to me the other day, hey, stupid, God would never speak to you that way. That might be your dad that you're hearing that in that voice, or your mom, or somebody in your, God would never speak to you that way. He would speak to you in a loving, kind way. So what are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? You need to know what God says about you, and then let those words define you and form your identity. When you know what God's spoken over you and you know who you are in him, you can accomplish anything that God calls you to do. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure God's called me to do anything. I'm telling you right now, God has something for you to do. He has a call on your life. You're not here without any kind of purpose. It might be to reach your whole family. I don't know what it is. It might be to go into that job that you hate and turn it around and bring joy and peace into that atmosphere. It might be to call you into a group of friends that need Jesus. Don't sit here and think God doesn't have a plan or a calling upon your life. Every one of you in this room, God does, and you got to find out what it is. And it's not like a puzzle. I hate those little puzzles. Oh, my gosh. 1,000-piece puzzles. Like, literally, 1,000-piece puzzle, I could pull my hair out. God does not work in riddles or puzzles, thank God, because I would not do well. He will tell you clearly if you'll ask him. Where can you find what God says about you? Into scripture. Listen to God's voice. Prayer. People who you trust in life. Not only do you have to listen to what God says about you, but then you have to believe it. Point number two. Believe what God says about you. And it will be completely different sometimes than what you say about you. Or what other people say about you. Stop buying the lies of the enemy and speaking them over your life. Well, I could never do that. I'm never going to get rid of that. I'm never going to break free from this. I could never stop buying those lies of the enemy and start speaking life. You have to believe it. To come out from behind the baggage, you must actually believe what God said. Saul's problem is he didn't believe what God said about him. That's why he was hiding out. He heard what God said about him, but he didn't believe it. If he believed the words that God had spoken over him, he would have never been hiding behind any baggage. He would have been walking out saying, okay, God, we're going to do this together because you've already promised me. Even when the words have been confirmed with signs and Samuel told him everything that God had said will come to pass, he still didn't believe it. It appeared that Saul didn't even believe that God was calling him, anointing him, and giving him everything. He was hiding out. It's a problem with fear. Fear is a liar. Fear will keep you stuck. Fear is false evidence appearing real. What do you believe? What you believe dictates how you're going to operate in your life. What's keeping you from believing what God has spoken over your life? Some of you believe that if you let that baggage go, you have no protection in your life. That's a total lie. Some of you are the carry-on people because you're too afraid your bags are going to get lost. Oh, I got to carry my bag on. Those people, I just say leisure travelers, I don't want my bag to get lost. Some of you approach your life like that. I can't give it up. I'm telling you, leave the bags at the door today. God has big plans for you, his purpose. You have to believe that. You have to believe what he's speaking over your life. Key number three, stop always trying to take the baggage with you when God's called you to leave it. Because some of you might come and go, okay, I'm going to leave it at the altar today, and you walk right out of here, and on the way out, you pick it back up. What God is calling you to give up, What God is trying to give you, a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, don't pick it up anymore. So what does that mean? It means this next week, if you lay something down, you go, God, I give you this baggage, and the enemy tries to bring it back for you to pick up, stop and say, I'm not picking that up anymore. It's not my bag. I gave that to Jesus. God is calling you to leave the baggage and step out from behind it. And listen, God didn't say, Samuel, step out and you can take those bags with you. He said, step out and leave them. Step out and leave them. And God, hey, what I love about God is he calls us out from the baggage. Because what's interesting is the people couldn't find Saul, and God goes, huh, I'll tell you where he's at. He's hiding behind the baggage. And guess what? Today, God said to me, tell those people that are sitting down at Hope City, get out from your baggage and move forward. Get out of that baggage and let's go. Leave that baggage. It's time to become stable. The Bible tells us, like I said earlier, God's burden is light and his yoke is easy. The only time that's not true is when you try to pick up the yoke and the burden. That's what being unequally yoked means. We read it about in Scripture. And if you're like, man, I've got all this burden and I'm carrying it, that means you're carrying too much. Our tendency is to leave the baggage, let God have it, and then go pick it back up again. A very important part of this is people help pull Saul from the baggage. You need people in your life who are going to help pull you from your baggage. You need people who are going to say, listen, I see this in your life. It's time to set it down. Well, what are people going to think about me? It doesn't matter. Whatever's holding you back from being honest with people, and maybe it's hurt, difficulties, you need people in your life who are going to call out the baggage and say, listen, it needs to go. God told those people to go pull Saul out from the baggage. God is telling people in your life, it is time to pull you out from the baggage. And there's freedom when that happens. People that will walk beside you and help carry the load. You don't need people in your life who are going to fill your baggage. You need people who are going to pull you out from your baggage. If you've got friends that bring more hurt, pain, and brokenness, you don't need them anymore. Make 2024 a year of wholeness when it comes to your friendships. You don't need them to fill your bags with more crap. Excuse my, oh, they said crap in church. Yes, because that's what it is. And you know it, and so, you know it. You know it. You have friends in your life who fill your bags with all this kind of crap. And I could say another word, but then I'd really get in trouble. Stop hanging around people that fill you, your baggage with all this junk, and get around people who speak life over you. Part of not picking up your baggage is allowing Jesus to heal you and giving it over to him. Forgiveness is a big key to that. Key number four. And I love this because as you read down in chapter 10 and you finish it out, ignore the naysayers. As you finish it out in chapter 10, you see that after Saul was anointed, God sent a group of men with Saul to walk beside him. Those men knew that God had touched Saul and they were on his side. But the Bible said there's a small group of men who complained and said, how could God use this man to save us? Not only did they complain, but they actively worked against Saul coming out from that baggage. They were trying to send him back into hiding. And I love how Saul responded to this. The Bible says he ignored them. Ignore the naysayers. If there are unhealthy people in your life, get rid of them. Shut off that relationship. You don't need any more death. You don't need any more negative. Well, my gift is criticism. That's my spiritual gift. You don't need people in your life who are going to criticize you. You need people in your life who are going to lift you up. You don't need people who are going to co-sign, oh, you just keep that baggage. I know you were hurt. You need people who will say, I'm not going to allow you to keep that baggage anymore. I want it. Surround yourself with people who are going to speak life, and don't let anyone drag you back to that spot where you're carrying that baggage. God wants to bring you freedom today.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.
Baggage has become part of them. It's like they can't see their life without seeing the baggage, and they can't give it up.